Thank the Lord for His goodness to us. Another privilege to be with the saints in the meeting at Guthrie again. Thank the Lord for His goodness to all of us. I would like to share with you inspiration the Lord has blessed us with. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Starting at verse 16, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things that are seen, which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." May the Lord help us. It's a message in itself. "While we look not, the blessed hope, the blessed confidence that we have in something out there that's beyond this physical and natural and material and earthly realm. That's what is the key to success with the Christian life. It's because of the vision that you have of eternal things. These old material things, this furniture, these buildings, these houses, these cars, these trucks, these airplanes, these tools, these microphones. All of these things are material. We can use them, but they're just temporal. Don't put your affections on them. Don't be all carried away with them, because they are going to perish. They're going to pass away. This whole world is going to fade out just like that. When Jesus comes and He comes in power, this world will melt away to nothing. We do not want to put our affections on these material things. Money. It's all going to perish. It's all vanity. Treasures. Wealth. Oil. Furniture. Name it. It's all going to perish. We're not looking at material things. We're not looking at physical, earthly, material things. We've got our hearts and our minds on things above. These earthly things are going to pass away in just a little bit. That's right. It's just temporary. You just have it for a little while. That car, that nice car, it's going to perish. Don't look at those kind of things. There was a time when people didn't need cars. Now they've got them galore. And what are they doing? How many people have been snuffed out of this life because of a car accident? They're not all that great. Oh, we could use them. I have one. I mean, Sylvia and I have one. Lord blesses with. He blesses with several cars. We wore them out and the Lord give us another one. But it's all temporal. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. We faint not, though our outward man, though this old outward man is going to perish, it's going down, getting older, getting weaker, infirmities, problems, afflictions, troubles, difficulties, weaknesses. This old body is going down. Don't glory in your flesh. Now, you young people, you're well and strong, and you're going good. But it's not going to be that way always. And there's all kinds of diseases and all kinds of infirmities and all kinds of things can happen and just wreck your natural body. Just wreck it. That's right. So don't put your affections on these earthly physical things. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all involved with the appetites of the body. We're living in an age when people are eating themselves to the grave. Eating themselves heavy, overweight, sick, troubled hospitals, and the places are just teeming with people in trouble. Their appetites, eating food, 3 meals a day, loading their belly with meal. No wonder we got so much trouble in the world. You don't need that much food. Amen. You don't need it. It's doing you harm. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. We want to get some spiritual food. The Word of God, the Spirit of God. Jesus spoke about it in the 6th chapter of John. About the bread of life. He said, I am the bread of life. How do you eat of Jesus? You take His Word into your heart and mind, and you pray, and you look to the Lord, and you draw near to Him, and His Holy Spirit blesses and fills your heart and mind and feeds your soul. Isn't that a wonderful thing? How many of you have had a good meal today spiritually? How many of you have you had one? Are you? Why, is that all? How many of you have had a good meal today? Spiritually speaking. I mean, how many of you had a good meal? How many filled your body up today with literal food? Ha, 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 ha. But you know, dear ones, there's a spiritual food. There's a spiritual nourishment. As we read the Word and as we get it in our mind and as we pray and we draw near to God, the Spirit of the Lord blesses our inner man. While our outer man is going down, getting old, wearing out, our inner man is renewed and strengthened day by day. I'm telling you the truth. I'm so glad and thankful that I, as a young person, 56 years ago, this summer, I surrendered my heart to the Lord. I gave up the world. I gave up my plans and my desires. I started seeking for eternal things. Spiritual things. And God began to work with me. He began to open up and reveal the truth to my heart. And as that winter, during the seminary meeting, I sought at an altar prayer for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came down and filled my heart and mind. And He's been leading and blessing and comforting and enlightening and guiding me ever since. I'd lots rather have the Lord Jesus than, like we sang a while ago, than all this silver and gold, all of these houses and land, all of these old material things, that's all soon going to perish. While we look not at the things which are seen. Things that are seen will deceive you. That's right. You look at things in a natural way and you're going to miss the point. There are many people today, and in fact, most of our society is all geared up to things that are seen. Things that you can see with these fleeting mortal eyes. We don't want to be that way. You want to see and look for spiritual things. Eternal things. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're going to perish. But the things which are not seen are eternal. When you want riches, eternal riches, Jesus says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, what? There will your heart be also. May the Lord help us today. We want to set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Colossians 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on this earth, for ye are dead. Dead to the world, dead to the flesh, dead to sin. But ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. I thank the Lord for the things that are not seen. In Hebrews chapter 11 and 1 it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith, being able to take in and believe and accept the truth about eternal things. Faith is the substance. It is the essence of things hoped for. You believe, you trust, you wait, you hope, you hold on. That's faith. That's something we need to work and develop in your life. It doesn't just come naturally and easily. You have to work on it. That's right, spiritually. You can't make it if you don't work at this Christian life. You work at it through prayer, seeking the Lord, humbling your heart, studying the precious word, going to service and listening with an intent ear to the message as it goes forth. That's working at this salvation. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh where? In you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I have seen God, but not with my natural eyes. But I'll tell you what I do see with my natural eyes, things that tell me that there is a God. I look at that sun comes up in the morning. I don't believe it's a day goes by, but what I think about that sun and how wonderful it is and how it is God's testimony of his goodness to us. Stop and look at it. Oh, you can't look at it in intent. It's too bright. But give it a good glance every now and then and think, that's evidence of God. How else would it have been? And look what it does. Look how it governs the seasons. Right now, it is approaching the longest day in the year when the sun will be coming up toward the north at the longest day and the shortest night, June the 21st, 22nd. Then it starts going back. And it goes back down about September the 21st, and you call that equinox. equal day and equal night. Then it keeps going back until December the 22nd. That's the shortest day and the shortest day and the longest night. Now, who did that? Who put that in motion? Did it just happen to be? How did this cup get over here? Did it just happen to get over here? That's the way everything else is. There's a God that created the world. He's an invisible God. But He is visible. You see Him everywhere. We have a song in our book that says, God is everywhere. God is in the valley. God is in the air. God is in the sea. Everywhere you may go, there God will be. You see Him everywhere. He's a great and wonderful God. Look at that moon. Beautiful moon. I watch for the moon every month. I'm watching for it. After it disappears, I watch. And the other night I saw it, the first thin crescent of it. That just thrilled me. Here it's coming back again, little by little, and finally it gets to be a full, beautiful moon. Now, who did all that? Did that just happen to be? Better start looking at these things. Look at these beautiful fields of wheat. We know man planted them. We know man is harvesting them. But who devised and planned the wheat? Who did that? Look at those beautiful grains of wheat and the sperm in it. And it's just marvelous what it does. Look at corn. Fields of corn. We don't have much of them down here in Oklahoma. But on up north, they grow corn. Great big old stalks of corn. Big old beautiful ears of corn. Where'd they come from? Did they just happen to be? Why no. The seed. God gave us the seed. It's wonderful, isn't it? While we look not at the things which are seen, and yet we can see in the things which are seen, we can see the goodness and graciousness of God. Isn't that wonderful? We serve a wonderful, wonderful God. He's gracious. He's kind. He's real. He can speak to your heart. Have you heard His voice today? Amen? Isn't that wonderful? We can hear from Him every day. He speaks to our hearts. He speaks to our inner man. He comforts, He instructs, He guides, He gives the Scriptures. You get and study the Word and get this Word in your mind and your heart, and then He can take that and use that and open up things. I remember when He first started doing that for me as a young Christian. Things began to open up to me from the Scriptures. I had been reading and studying, and He got it in my mind. And then just in a list in a flash, He just opens up. And the Spirit of God will guide you in your life, your decisions, and the things you need to be doing. He guides you with that if you'll seek for it. Amen. And wait on Him. And obey Him. He'll guide you in all your decisions of life. Where'd we get all this good water? Well, you say it come from a lake or something. Yeah, well, maybe it did. But where'd that come from? Where does the rain come from? It comes out of the water vapor that's in the sky. Isn't that wonderful? There are wells that are flowing with water. Up north here at the Great Salt Plains Lake is a flowing well. It's a well that's got several outlets. But it goes one up there that's alongside the road, And people go there, including us. That's where we get our drinking water. We go up with a big bunch of jugs, and that's what it's flowing with water out of a thing about like that. All the time. Been doing it for years and years. Where's it coming from? The Almighty God. I see God in everything. I see God in people. I see God in little babies. Little children. God is good. While we look not at the things which are seen. Don't get carried away with the physical and this old television and internet and all these things that people are just so carried away with. Oh, we can use them. We can use the computers. We can use these instruments for good. But don't let yourself be carried away with them, because they're all going to perish. They're just temporal. And another thing, they're always changing. They're always going from one thing to the next. One thing gets obsolete. Can't use that no more. Set it out for somebody else to take. It's temporal. It's all going to perish. It's the way with our cars, trucks, buses, airplanes. I just thought airplanes was really something wonderful, but they don't mean anything to me anymore. I don't care to look at them. They're all going to perish. My affections are centered on things above. While we look not at the things which are seen. A little more here in Hebrews. For by it the elders obtained a good report. The ancients, people of old, people of history, we have their record. They obtained a good report, or they were tested and proven to be true. Can you think of some that we have on record that believed and obeyed and were blessed? Who was the first one that was mentioned in Hebrews 11? By faith, Abel was just offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than his brother Cain. He was obedient. He offered the right kind. He had the right attitude, and God accepted him. Cain's sacrifice, just of the fruit of the ground, didn't mean anything to God because his heart wasn't right. God is weighing our hearts. He wants us to have the right attitude. I want to notice verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things that do appear or that are seen. In other words, he's saying, everything that is seen is backed by unseen power. That's what he did when God created the world. He said, let there be light, and light broke forth. It wasn't the sun. The sun was made on the fourth day. But it was spiritual light that he prepared and sent forth for us to get into. Spiritual light. The heavens were framed. They were planned. They were designed. And they were brought forth by God's Word. That's the basis of it, is God's Word. That's why we need to study the Word of God and let it get in our hearts and minds and let it be written upon our hearts so that we can be in contact with the eternal blessings things which are seen were made of unseen things. And one day, dear ones, when God sees, He's let this world go on long enough, He's going to speak the word, and it's all going to just go, whoa! There'll be nothing left. Because it's all held together by His word. That's right. And it's all going to just pass to nothing. Things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. We walk by faith, not by sight. If you're going to live a life of faith, you got to live above how things look and how things get. You can quit looking at the affliction, at the trouble, at the hard place, at the difficulty, at the sorrows and the troubles. Quit looking at them. Well, you say, I can't help it. I can say, there they are. Sure. You see them, but you don't consider them. You're looking at the eternal God. When God made promise to Abraham was able to get a hold of it by faith. Yes. We have a wonderful account of our father Abraham. God appeared to him and says, get thee up from thy country and thy kindred and go to a land that I will show thee. And he obeyed, and he went out. He didn't know where he was going, but he obeyed God. And as he lived, Abraham lived, he developed a faith. You study the life of Abraham, and you can see step by step how his faith was produced and brought forth. And finally, the very last one was a test that God made when he told him to go into the land of Moriah and offer as a sacrifice upon one of the mountains there your son Isaac as a burnt offering. He told Abraham to do that. Did Abraham argue and wonder and worry and fret? No. He just got Isaac up and let's go. Got some young men to go with him. And they went, it took 2 days to go where he was going. What was Abraham looking at all that time? Was he looking at his son Isaac? I don't have to go, what am I doing? No. He wasn't looking at Isaac. He was looking at God. And he was going to obey God at the price that God gave him. Offer up your son. And when he went to do that, he bound Isaac, made the altar, bound him, put him on the altar, took the knife and was going to finish. He had a burnt offering. As you kill the sacrifice, you shed its blood, and then you burn his body to ashes. That was a burnt offering. That's what he was going to do for Isaac. That's what God told him to do. But God was putting him to the test. And whenever he saw, of course, God sees everything, but he lets things happen so you can see him too. And Abraham was getting ready. He took his knife to slay his son. The Lord stopped him and said, Abraham, here am I. Don't touch him. Don't you do that. Now I know that you please God. And you know, dear ones, we can have that kind of faith in our hearts today. I want to appeal to you children and young people. Learn how to trust in God. If you have godly parents, listen to them. I thank the Lord I had a godly mother. She prayed for me. She helped me. I'm glad I listened to her. I was tempted at some points to go right against her. But I'm glad I submitted and yielded. You want to have faith? You want to be a man of faith, a woman of faith? You can be. But it takes effort, it takes decision, it takes submission, it takes obedience, it takes yielding, it takes earnest prayer. You've got to work at this thing to have what you need to have. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I pray the Lord will bless these few words. I hope somebody else would have a message, but no one else seemed to, and I was just so inspired with this thought. I've just been feasting on it all day. Lord, help us that we will not look at the things that are seen, but look at the things which are unseen, the eternal things. God bless you.